This podcast is intended for adult audiences only, and listener discretion is advised as we explore mature topics with a sex-positive and open-minded approach. So remember, the opinions expressed are personal and not professional. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Pineapple Express Podcast, your weekly dose of sex-positive vibes and open-minded conversations about swinging, sex work, and non-monogamy. Join us as we delve into the world of modern swingers, exploring relationships, pleasure, and empowerment. Each week, we will tackle controversial, sex-positive topics through the lens of a millennial swinger. Get ready to embrace the steamy and sensational journey ahead and ride along with us on the Pineapple Express. Welcome, welcome, Pineapple Expressers. So today I have Andrea, Infinite Polyam, on the podcast. She is amazing in the polyamorous space, all over social media, talking about polyamory, talking about her journey and her experience within polyamory. She's been in polyamorous relationships for over 20 years now, so tons of experience. And I absolutely love Andrea. I consider her one of my friends, somebody who was really open-minded, which is really funny. So looking back on my experience with polyamory and polyamorous content creators, it's still not like amazing, right? But in the beginning, like as a swinger, I was like, I want to like merge these communities and start like working with them. And a lot of times I would just like not get any response, or the response would be like, I don't have space for this right now, or like, I'm not interested in working with swingers because we're so different. So when I, you know, started messaging Andrea, and I was just like, Andrea, I think you're amazing. I think what you're doing is awesome. And we started chatting, and she was so open-minded to just like being a part of my journey as well, and not only like teaching me, but just like being a support system in the polyamorous community as content creators. We collaborated on her Medium article, which is a great article about polyamory not being a lifestyle and just being like a life choice, which I will link that in the show notes. But like, I don't know, I just think it's so cool how Andrea was, you know, and really not really in swinger spaces at all, and just so open-minded to being open to like chatting with me, collaborating with me in any way, shape, or form. So I love that, and I think that that's amazing, and I'm super excited to have this chat with them because I don't know, I just I love that we can collaborate and have these conversations in, you know, the content creating world. So in this episode of the Pineapple Express podcast, we're going to talk about the show From Couple to Throuple. We're going to throw out some more like pop culture references and media type references to swinging and polyamory, but this is like the main focus. So this is a show that came out on Peacock. I want to say it came out like the end of January, maybe early February. And it's where four couples essentially test drive polyamory, and it's incredibly problematic for the polyamory and the swinging community, and me and Andrea dive deep into this. Pretty much the entire premise of the show is unicorn hunting, quote unquote, and it's so crazy that like the thirds are experiencing polyamory in like kind of a problematic way, where there's this very heteronormative version of polyamory. And it's just so problematic in so many ways. It seems really forced, and it doesn't actually seem like actual polyamory couples, right? This seems more of like people who are wanting to experience swinging for the first time as swinging newbies, and they want to, you know, find a unicorn, which is so common in the swinger lifestyle, guys. Like, this is how I got introduced to the swinger lifestyle. This is how many of my friends, many of my colleagues, many people that I know got introduced looking for a third to, you know, explore with in a sexual way. That is, I wouldn't say unproblematic or problematic within itself, because everyone's consenting to the situation. But in this show, they're framing it as polyamorous. And this in a lot of polyamorous circles would say that this is quite problematic. Now, I try to detach from judging anybody's experience with polyamory and with non-monogamy in general, because I think as long as everyone's consenting to it, that it's perfectly fine. And if you do it hierarchical, non-hierarchical, however you do it, as long as everyone's consenting, right? Which everyone in the show is consenting to it. So I suppose it's ethical. But again, it's not my job to, you know, judge the ethics of non-monogamy, because I think that that's left to the person. But what I do think is unethical about this is that they're framing it in the sense of it's just polyamory, which it feels more like swinging. It feels more like an exploration of sexuality, of non-monogamy, and not necessarily in a polyamorous framework. Now, I have heard from unicorns in the polyamorous lifestyle that, like, they enjoy being unicorns. They enjoy being fetishized. They enjoy this, you know, sort of dynamic of they come into these relationships with these people and they are just like the center of attention. And I love that. Actually, I've done that before and I enjoyed that, right? So I think that's okay, but it's just very problematic in this show. I think that it gets better, but there's a lot of scenes in this show where I'm just like, oh, this is when we're showing these things to the general public. I think that it can be problematic because that's a lot of people's first introduction to non-monogamy. And that's really not how non-monogamy looks. And it looks very different. So I just wanted to call that into these topics of conversation. Like, this is not non-monogamy and this is not really how it truthfully looks. Some ways that I think that they could have done better is if they had a polyamorous or relationship coach or expert on call to kind of deal with the couple's issues and situations, like in an on-call basis. Because really what it was they had this polyamorous coach and expert come in and frame things in their way, and they didn't let the couples frame it and control it. And I didn't like that. And I think that they should have talked more about the connections rather than just the sex, which is where we call in the polyamory aspect of this as opposed to the swinger aspect. So we know swinging is more about sex. We know that swinging is more about the adventurous side of having sex. And that's why I really wish they would have framed this in not a polyamorous setting, but more of a non-monogamous swinger setting. And I think that they would have done better with that. And then I think too, like, giving them more time to get to know each other instead of just like jumping in and doing this bachelor style like rose ceremony right from the beginning. They had like one conversation and then it was like, we're choosing you to be our third. And then I think too, like, giving them a course about this when they were casting them, like, hey, we're gonna go through a couple of coaching sessions prior to casting you so that you understand what you're getting into. I think that they kind of did this premise of making it sort of a train wreck as opposed to really showing how this kind of dynamic works in a real way. They made it so train wrecky and sexy, which, okay, fine, it's TV, but you also have to remember that you have a whole entire community who is not represented. We have so much underrepresentation in the media. Even on social media, we have very much an underrepresentation. So, like, I feel like they could have done it so much better. And on top of that, I saw that Peacock has a new show about hall passes. So I haven't watched this one yet. I don't know if I'm going to, but instead of, again, calling it swinging, they call it hall passes. Like, why can't we just call it what it is, you guys? It's swinging. Why do we have to put all of these different identities on it? Is swinging like such a bad word? Is it such a bad thing to even talk about in the media where, you know, we can represent it in a conscious way? Oh, it was so frustrating. But yeah, this show, it's new on Peacock and it's called Love for the Ages. And it's three middle-aged Latino couples that get the ultimate hall pass, which, okay, love the representation. I think that's great. I think, you know, calling in the Latino community into this is amazing because they are a huge part of our diverse, you know, community in the swinger lifestyle. So I think it just would have been so much different if they just will represent it in the proper way instead of calling it quote unquote hall pass, which technically a hall pass is kind of a version of swinging, right? I don't know if you guys know the Luke Wilson movie, which is funny. We don't, or not Luke Wilson, I'm sorry, Owen Wilson movie from the 2010s. But like, we don't talk about this on the podcast with Andrea, which I'm surprised that we didn't call this in. But there's this movie in the 2010s with Owen Wilson, and basically all of these guys, they get a hall pass, quote unquote, for the weekend to kind of do whatever they want. And it's super silly. It's like these middle-aged men. And it was kind of my first, I guess, experience with non-monogamy, because I remember watching this movie and I had been married at the time to someone other than Brad. And like, that was kind of opening up the conversation of like having a hall pass. And like, me and Brad joke around all the time and we'll be like, who's your ultimate celebrity hall pass? You know? So like, I think that framing it in the hall pass way instead of the swinging way, I don't know. It's very frustrating that swinging can't get any representation, even though like what a lot of people are doing is swinging. So yeah, we talk about this a lot in the podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. And here is a word from our sponsors. So before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about the incredible support that I receive from all of my sponsors. As you all know, creating this podcast is a passion of mine, but it's also an endeavor that requires a lot of time and effort and resources to keep this show alive so that I can give you guys the content that you deserve on a weekly basis. So thank you to my sponsors so that we're able to focus on, you know, this educational content. And I love that they help cover the costs associated with hosting services, equipment upgrades, and sometimes fueling my coffee addiction to keep my creative juices flowing. I'm kind of kidding there, but not really. But more than just financial support, our sponsors are companies and brands that I truly believe in. They offer products and services that I think that you guys, my very valued listeners, can benefit from. And I would never endorse something that I didn't truly believe in myself. So when you hear me mention our sponsors, know that these shout outs aren't just a formality. They're a testament to the effort that we bring to this show and the ears of this episode and all of my episodes. So by supporting them, and you're supporting us and you're supporting this podcast in a real way. And this is so that we're able to have these conversations, share stories, and of course, build community. So stay tuned for our sponsor segment right now. And, you know, check out all these unique promo codes, discounts, and offers that they've provided exclusively for you guys. It's a win-win. You get a great deal and you're also directly contributing to the longevity of my podcast. So as always, thank you guys for listening and a massive thank you to all of my sponsors. Hey, Upside Down Pineapple people. Join the millions of couples enjoying amazing sex with Promescent. I personally love the variety of products they offer, and their aloe-based lube is the only lube I've ever used that doesn't throw off my pH. Brad loves their delay spray, which is clinically proven to help men last longer in bed. Their products have a 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping on orders in the U.S. over $10. Their shipping is discreet and private, which is perfect for us in the swinger lifestyle. Make sure that you go to www.promescent.com/Kylie for all your discreet sexual health needs. My link is in the show notes. Promescent helps you live your best upside-down pineapple life.
Anxiety can cause ED, like the kind you get while watching your partner with someone else. You're having the time of your life, yet are having stage fright. Most men in the lifestyle use prescription ED medication for this reason. Shameless Care should be your provider. Shameless is less expensive than other companies and has a 50-state network of physicians who are lifestyle-friendly. Use coupon code CHIC, that's CHIC, for $30 off. ShamelessCare.com.
Introducing the Sultry Vixen, your one-stop shop for all your sex work and rave wear needs. Whether you're hitting the pole or the festival scene, the Sultry Vixen has got you covered. From dance shoes to box outfits, custom dance outfits, and lingerie to vibrant festival outfits, they've got the perfect gear to make you shine. Stand out with their neon rave accessories and all of their costumes that will take your festival experience to the next level. And they also carry men's and plus sizes. They are a family-owned and operated ravewear slash dancewear shop located in Riverside, California. The quickest way to reach them is directly through their Instagram. Visit thesultryvixen.com today for the hottest trends in dance and rave fashion. Dance more and glow more with the Sultry Vixen. Are you exploring the expansive world of relationships and seeking a path that honors your true self? Discover Conscious Love Connections, your compass to navigating non-monogamous and sex-positive intimacy and relationships with confidence and care. At Conscious Love Connections, we cater to all relationship styles, swinging, non-monogamy, polyamory, specifically single men, but everyone is welcome. It's a judgment-free zone because we know that love in all its forms deserves to be celebrated. My coaching isn't just about embracing your sexuality. It's about deepening your intimacy, communication, boundaries, and understanding. Conscious Love Connections is here to empower you in creating relationships that reflect all of your values and desires. Join me for workshops, one-on-one sessions, couple sessions, or even intimate group sessions. And I also offer a monthly peer support group for swingers. Together, we're going to create a safe space for learning and growth where you can flourish in your partnership or with all of your partnerships. Don't wait to begin your journey. Visit my website at consciousloveconnections.com and step into a world where love knows no bounds. Tune into, obviously, this podcast series and learn more about my coaching and my coaching style and help create tools to live your most authentic life. Conscious Love Connections, because love should be as limitless as the stars. All right, Pineapple Expressers. So I have Andrea, aka Infinite Poly Am. They are a social media influencer and they talk about polyamory, all of the good things with non-monogamy. Recently, I think it was like 2 or 3 months ago, you wrote an article for Medium, which was like about the lifestyle and polyamory and how polyamory is not a lifestyle, how it's not, it can be a choice or maybe it's not a choice for some people. So a lot of good things coming, you know, coming out from you in the non-monogamous community. So welcome. And can you just give us a brief introduction of who you are and in the polyamorous space?
Yeah, hi. I am Andrea. I go by Infinite Polyam on social media. Thank you for having me on here. I talk about mostly about my own experiences with polyamory. Some of it's educational, some of it's humorous. It's kind of whatever I'm feeling at the moment. But I usually try to tie it into my own experiences.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that mix of content because I kind of do the same thing. Like it's educational and then my own experiences. And then, come on, we just got to have fun on social media, right? Like we got to laugh a little bit.
Right.
I mean, especially in the non-monogamous space, sometimes it can be so, seems so dry, seems so like education. Just laugh a little bit at ourselves and laugh a little bit at the things that people say about us, right? Like, I know you get so many comments, just like I do. I see your comments all the time. Like, oh, how could you do this? You know, your husband's this, your husband's that, how dare you? And it's like, it's just a lot of it's really, really funny. How long have you been doing social media and like the influencing stuff?
So I started that in May of 2020, during lockdown times, like a lot of people did. And I did not start off talking about polyamory content at all. It was just random lip syncs, whatever I could find. And I think probably within a year or something, I did one polyamory video and then got a lot of questions. And I would answer those questions, but I still didn't really talk about polyamory much outside of that. So really, it wasn't until I would say about early 2022 that I started talking primarily about polyamory. Just kind of morphed into that. And now that's all I really talk about.
And how long have you been practicing polyamory?
It's hard to say polyamory specific, but non-monogamy as a whole, for a little over 20 years, it was more of an open relationship that just kind of morphed into polyamory. So if I want to say more polyamory specific, I would say more of like 15 years or so.
So it was like all non-monogamous individuals, kind of an evolution. And, I feel like a lot of
Yes,
people in
very
the
common.
space, yeah, it's so common to like start opening up, like doing swinging or open relationship, that sort of thing, and then move into the con I feel like polyamory is a pretty conscious approach to all of it. So like moving into that sort of consciousness, I think is really cool. So I wanted to have this conversation with you because we've been messaging back and forth, kind of laughing when the Couple to Thruple came out on Peacock. And I'm
Yes.
like, this would be such a fun podcast to do. And I love your input on it. So I wanted to really kind of talk about mainstream media representations in swinging and polyamory and like, what has been your experience with that?
I don't see swinging represented in mainstream media very often, especially lately. I think the media forgot that swinging even exists. It almost seems like they try to lump everything into polyamory, like all non-monogamy is just polyamory, when polyamory is not the umbrella term, but some people I think it is. So I do see usually polyamory represented in the media.
And I feel like when they when rep when swinging is represented, so I have a few things that I can think of. So have you ever seen the show You on Netflix?
Oh, yes, I love you.
So I want to say it was season two or three. There was an episode with their
Yes.
neighbors and they were swingers and like it was represented as a band-aid for their relationship and they specifically identified as swingers. They didn't identify as polyamorous and it was really misrepresented because their relationship was on the rocks and it was like a lot of negative connotations with it. And then obviously we know the Grinch scene, which there's never really been, nobody's ever really spoken out about it, like if it's truly a swingers party or not. They just kind of throw their keys in a fishbowl and everyone's running around and laughing. No one really knows if it's swinging or not, but
Kind of
we kind
implied.
of, yeah, it's kind of implied, but we've made a little joke out of it, but no one's really sure. And then there's one episode of That 70s Show. This is actually how I learned what swinging was at a young age. It came out in like the early 2000s, maybe even before that. And Kitty and Red go to a swinger party. They didn't know that they were there. They were like surprised about this key party and they were upset that they got invited. And it was like a whole big drama of the show. But that's like all I can really think of in mainstream, like media that's not represented like a swinger show, like a Love Don't Judge or like something like that, where it's mainstream on the media. So like what is there for polyamory? I mean, I know I just stated like couple to throuple, but like is there any sort of anything that you can think of other than that that it's really represented?
It was represented in Gossip Girl, the reboot, and there are a couple of other movies. There's Trigonometry, which is like a UK show. And it is on there.
What stereotypes about swinging, non-monogamy, polyamory are most prevalent in TV and films? And how might these impact the public perception? And kind of like I had mentioned, a lot of the connotations specifically with swinging have been very negative ones. Again, we're looking to fix our relationship. Or this is something that's very on the fringe. There was a really, okay, so it was an SNL, like they did a skit about it at a swinger party. And they had the most like weirdest characters were there. They were just like the strangest people. And it always brings out, which I guess with SNL, that was kind of funny, but it brings out the stereotypes. Which stereotypes would you say, especially with polyamory in the media, that it kind of brings out?
Usually, any representation of polyamory in the media is going to make polyamory seem way more sex-based than it actually is. It's also a lot of times playing into hetero norms of making it seem like it's always a straight male with a bisexual or bicurious wife, and they open their relationship to a third person who is always a bisexual woman. That's almost always what you're going to see represented in very mainstream media. There are some good representation that's a little less mainstream, and usually it's just hinted at, but typically it reinforces that polyamory is only triads, which is three people all in a relationship together. It doesn't really show a lot of times queer polyamorous people. It also makes it, like you said, that the relationship is on the rocks. It's that you open your relationship to try out this polyamory type thing because you're going to spice things up when that's probably not the healthiest way to open it. A relationship like that is going to fall apart very quickly.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting how a lot of the mainstream media representations of polyamory tend to be, like you said, sex-based, which could be, swinging in a way, right? Because we in the swinger lifestyle, we that this is how me and my husband got into this lifestyle, was wanting to open up and find a third, and I think that people, it misrepresents, first of all, swinging and polyamory, which I feel like confuses the general public. And if they did it in more of like a real represented way instead of like this sensationalized version of it, I think it would be better for the general public.
Oh, definitely. I think that's why a lot of people mix up what is swinging and what is polyamory. And because they don't have a clear definition of it, they just kind of go with what they see on TV.
So can I ask you what you and I ask people who are non-monogamous what that means to them? I know what swinging and polyamory and the differences mean to me, but what does that mean to you?
Okay, yeah, no, that's actually a very good question. That's actually something I ask when I go on a date with someone. What does polyamory mean to you? But to me, polyamory is about your relationships. You can be polyamorous and be in zero relationships, one relationship, or two or more. So it's not just about how many relationships you are, it's about the freedom to explore and be in multiple relationships. And those can actually vary from being casual relationships to very serious committed relationships. And typically, I don't like to reinforce that polyamory is not about sex at all, because for some it is, and sex is part of it for a lot of polyamorous people as well. So I think we do ourselves a disservice to say it's not about sex at all. But it's not about sex at all for some people. And to me, swinging is a little more couple centric, where a couple will a lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but we'll go to either play parties or a swingers club. And will maybe couple swap or find someone else to have sex with. But at the end of the day, you may remain friends with those people, but you don't have a relationship necessarily with them.
Like a romantic relationship. And this is like
Correct.
the conundrum that I fall into, because what is romance? How what defines a romantic relationship with somebody? Because that's kind of like my representation of polyamory is romantic relationships where they can be casual, like you said, they can just be sex-based, right? Or they can you can marry multiple people and like have a home and build a life with multiple people. It's very much more fluid, and swinging, like you said, is more something that we do on the weekends. It's a fun thing that you do with your partner. And we keep it really light. We do create community connections and friendship and platonic relationships with people, but rarely does it go beyond, sex. So I think, that's the biggest difference for swingers and polyamory people. And of course, we all kind of, in a way, I feel like it's molding together a little bit more. There's more swingers who are coming into this space of like, well, I want to have real connections with people more than just sexual. And polyamorous people are like, hey, I just want to have fun at these play parties, right? So I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, I think what the question is, what is romance? Like, and I feel like that depends on the person. Is it just is does romance mean
It
sex, like
does.
flowers and, going out to on dates? Or does romance, is it a feeling? Is it falling in love or planning to fall in love? That's something that I go back and forth with, not trying to understand what that means.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I do think that that completely depends on the individual. And I think you kind of touched on this, but I think that it's definitely worth noting that a lot of people are both part of both communities. They're polyamorous and swingers. There's a lot of overlap. I don't know how much as far as percentage, but I would go as far to say maybe, 10 to 20%, at least of polyamorous people are also swingers.
Yeah, I meet a lot of polyamorous people. I mean, I think the biggest difference between the overlap in communities is we have this generation of swingers, and I call them the traditionalist swingers, right? So these are the ones who started swinging, in the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s, who were really just there for the sex. And then we started building community and building friendships. And then we realized that, like, this is almost a form of, and we've talked about this personally a little bit, but like platonic polyamory, right? Like, I love my swinger friends so much. They mean the world to me. I in a loving way, but not in a way where, okay, I want to like date this person and marry this person and build a life with them because I already have a life with my one partner. So I kind of feel like that's a little bit of the difference too, is like with polyamory, some people are trying to build lives with multiple people, and with swinging, it's really heteronormative and it's really hierarchical in the sense of like we have that one hierarchical relationship, that coupled relationship. Or if you're a solo swinger, it's really just based in sex and fun.
And I think also more recently, I think that there is more overlap within the communities because of like what you said, you're creating a community instead of maybe a long time ago, swingers would either go to parties or the clubs and you would show up and then you would leave and you didn't really see those people outside of that. Maybe you weren't really friends with them.
Yeah, I think that there, and I think we're going to see more overlap because I think that non-monogamy is becoming more, it's becoming more of an option for people. I think in
Definitely.
a long time ago, it really wasn't. It was very taboo. Now that we have some representation, people are realizing that this is something that they could possibly do. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of millennials and Gen Z people are like, oh, okay, non-monogamy. And maybe for some, swinging works, and maybe for some, polyamory works. Maybe for some, it's both. And I think that that's a big part of the evolution of all of it, is kind of trying to see where you fit in.
Yeah, and I think that's actually great because a lot of people are realizing at younger ages that they do have an option, that there is not just, one way to go about it.
Yeah, for sure. So, circling back to Coupled with Rebels. So, this is a show, I want to say it premiered about a month ago on Peacock. And okay, so when I
Almost a month. I
heard,
think it was early February.
okay, so was it early February? I heard about it and I remember sending it to my friend Brett from Open. And I was like, Brett, I'm a little nervous about this. And he's like, I am too, because so it's a bachelor type show. If anybody's ever watched, I mean, who hasn't? Who doesn't know about The Bachelor? Okay. It's a bachelor type show, which I don't know if you remember, but do you remember A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila?
I only ever saw clips. I have never been a reality TV junkie. I've never even seen The Bachelor.
I haven't either. I did. I was growing up, I watched Rock of Love, Flava of Love, and then A Shot at Love, which A Shot at Love was when I was younger and I was coming into my bisexuality. This show came out right now. It was it wasn't throuple based, right? It was either she was going to pick a male or a female to have a relationship with because she was bisexual, but that was kind of similar to this in the sense of you have men and women on the show, but for an to couple to throuple, it's basically they have single, mostly single females come in, and it's they're gonna have, you have to pick one of these people to be a part of your throuple, and then they had one queer couple of two gay men, and they were gonna pick a single man to come in. So it's really interesting if you want to just give a little bit of a rundown of the show for the audience.
So Coupled to Thruple has been very interesting. The last episode actually just released today, and I haven't had a chance to watch it just yet. I was very skeptical going into watching the first one, but it hasn't actually been quite as bad for polyamory representation as I thought. Now the bar is pretty low on that, but for there are several couples, and you did mention the one gay couple, and then later they bring in another couple, and I think the one is trans. I think
Yeah, there's
non I
the
think
and
non-binary.
non-binary. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if both of them identify as non-binary or just one of them, and I know that they're both pansexual. And so they kind of bring a little more queer representation because the two gay men, they were actually encouraged on the show to find a woman to bring into the relationship as the
Yeah.
third. They only brought in men. But so each couple is supposed to choose a single to thruple up with. And then they basically like try it out. They keep calling it an experiment. And they can switch them out at certain points in the show. And the couple really does have all the power to say, we're going to swap this person out. And now the third can also say that they want to be swapped out as well. But if they wanted to stay in the relationship, they don't really have that say so. The couples do have the upper hand.
Yeah. And I think that I don't like that representation because
Nobody does.
I and I think that that's the biggest problem with the polyamorous community and them labeling it as polyamory. As I was watching this, I almost got like triggered in a way where I was like, why aren't they just calling this like a swinger show? Because it would make more sense if they did that instead of polyamory, because I noticed that it was very sexualized, which, okay, so I think that it's TV, right?
Yeah,
And
of
sex
course it's
sells.
what.
They're gonna sensationalize that, right? But also, a lot of the things that they were doing, so there's this scene, and I got really unnerved by this scene. So there's a scene in, I want to say it's the first or second episode, and they are with the, so they have a sexologist or a sex coach on there who's helping them through this, and they're sitting there, and the sex coach is like working them through jealousy and the partners kissing for the first time in front of each other,
Oh,
and
yes.
the other partner has to watch. And I'm like, this, they're literally just making them cuck right now. Like this is controlled cucking right now. Like to they're literally cucking, and a lot of them got uncomfortable with this, right? Because this is the first time doing this, and that's like normal, and it's normal to be uncomfortable, right? But I was just like, they're making them watch their partner, which sometimes in swinging and polyamory, specifically polyamory, that I don't know if that's really a thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I would say that one depends on the relationship itself. There are some people that do enjoy watching their partner with someone else. And then there are other people that wouldn't want to watch, but they don't mind hearing some details. And there are other people that don't want to hear any details. But the problem with the show when they did that was they forced you, especially at right as these, I'll use the word thruple, even though I hate that word, but because that's what's used on the show. Those thruples had just formed. These people barely knew each other. And then, like you said, being forced to basically, be cucks. And like that's not kink shaming. That's cucking is like a consensual thing. It's agreed upon. This was being forced into that, and they all had to just watch them. And but they weren't really given the tools on the show to work through any jealousy, and none of the couples really had any previous experience of non-monogamy. I think one of the couples had a threesome a couple of times. I can't recall exactly, but it's not like they were experienced in being in relationships with other people. So to kind of throw them into all of that without the tools, and it's the very first time. Like, that's overwhelming. And you have a lot, you think like, oh, I've got this, I'm interested in this. But then when it really gets down to it, and you're having, and you watch your partner with someone else, like that can be overwhelming.
And
And
in a good way or in a bad way, right? So like this
yeah.
is with swinging, this is why there's that evolution, right? And this is just my experience as a swinger, but like what I always tell couples is like, don't jump into like going to a club and watching your partner with somebody else, unless like that's your kink and you know that you're into that. But like, if
Of
you're not
course.
sure, you know, watch people together the first time and don't do anything with anyone else. And then the next time, maybe have sex in front of other people. And then the next time, you know, maybe parallel play, which if people don't know what parallel play is, that's like two couples on the same bed playing with their partner, not touching, not swapping or doing anything. And then, you know, move on to, it's like this evolution. And it just felt like they were throwing them into these scenarios that were almost like doomed to fail. So then the people who don't have any experience with non-monogamy or polyamory look at this and they're like, this is crazy. I would never do that. You know, not realizing that there is really truly an evolution.
Definitely. And it was very cringe to watch, because I think anybody watching that does have, even if they're swingers, and haven't had a polyamorous dynamic in any way, I think even they could watch that with a lot of cringe and just be like, oh, no. Like, you don't just throw people into something like that. Now, if they wanted to go for that, great.
They didn't have a
But
choice.
they did not have a choice. And nowhere in the show were they really given very good tools for working through a lot of that. I mean, there was a little bit where it seemed like they were like, let's try to figure out how this thruple can connect. But it wasn't, I use this term, I didn't come up with this term. I don't know who made it, but monogamy plus one. And that was kind of the premise of the show. And monogamy plus one doesn't work very well because of the dynamics. It kind of puts the couple as the monogamous couple that opens their relationship and gives them that power over this third person that comes into the relationship, where in reality, if you were going to be in a triad, your monogamous relationship that you both had together, it no longer exists. You create a new relationship, the three of you. And then also in a triad, it's not just three of you together. You also have your individual relationships with one another.
Yeah, it's like the premise of it's your birthday, so we're gonna find you a single female and we're gonna have a threesome and I'm gonna gift this person to you. It kind of really takes away the autonomy of that third person, and it takes away, and I did an episode about like unicorn hunting and whatnot. And you know, in the swinger lifestyle, that's kind of understood, like monogamy plus one, that but again, this is sex. We're not building relationships outside of sexual relationships. So it is consensual. I would more consensual in the swinger lifestyle, but something that's framed as a polyamorous relationship where we're building relationships with this third person. And, but really, they didn't give them, like you said, a lot of tools to do that. It was just, this is fun and sexy.
And the show is a great example of what not to do. But I did see some growth within people on the show, and I was very happy to see that. I haven't watched the very final episode, but I've gotten through the first nine. And some of these people I am rooting for in general, just like their general well-being. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. And I found some of their Instagram accounts, and it seems like quite a few of them have at the very least maintained friendships with one another, even the people they weren't in any relationships with. So it seems like a lot of them actually bonded very well with one another, and I think that's really cool. And so I'm at least happy to see that.
Yeah, I love that. And I really wish that they could have just done a little bit of a better job representing, which kind of brings me to my next question is like,
Definitely.
what extent do you think that the media like has a responsibility to provide, you know, this educational content and structures like polyamory and swinging and you know, having people on, I think like having somebody on this show who was truly like polyamorous, like behind the scenes, right? And like making sure that they were representing it properly. I feel like that would have been really helpful because it kind of feels like everybody who made this show like has no idea what swinging and polyamory is. And then they just kind of made this for viewers to like enjoy it, you know, instead of really educating. So what responsibility do you think that the media has for that?
So I don't think that the media technically owes us anything. I feel that they can represent stuff however they want. However, that does come as it comes at a cost to our community, to the swinger community, to the polyamorous community, because it just reinforces so much of that. But I do feel like they're doing a little better in general, because sometimes when an article when somebody is going to write an article about polyamory, they're reaching out to polyamorous creators that they're finding and trying to get quotes or stories. And it seems like some journalists are really trying to do better. Instead of writing a story from their own understanding of polyamory, when they really don't understand it very well, I think they're reaching out to some of these people, like, is this kind of accurate? Can you give us a quote? Can you kind of tie this in? So I think there's a little better representation, but it's very slow. Like I said, I do see them reaching out to people a lot more, but when there's really bad representation, even though I don't feel that they owe us good representation, we're also incredibly quick to call them out on it. The View actually did something, and it was horrible, and they got called out for it. I mean, not that it really does anything necessarily, but they did get called out for their discussion.
Yeah, because if you don't know about, I mean, that would be like me discussing, sitting in a round table and discussing like sports with people. Like, I have no freaking idea about any of this. Why am I going to even talk about it? I mean, I guess I could research it a little bit, but without having that lived experience, it's really hard to understand how the communities work and how the relationship dynamics work. And then something so dynamic as these communities where everybody has a different, understanding of their own relationship and their own self and their partner. And it's so it gets really messy really quickly. So I see how it can be difficult to represent it because some people might say, well, that was a terrible representation of polyamory. And then there might be some person who practices polyamory like that. That's their version of it, is that,
Oh, definitely. That happened actually with 50 Shades of Grey, that then a lot of people did, want to get into like BDSM and all of that. And I'm not part of that community, so I don't know a lot of the specifics of what happened, but I do know that a lot of people suddenly came in with a lack of understanding based on 50 Shades of Grey and came in like, oh, this is fun, let me try it, and did cause some actual harm. And I think there were some people that stopped going to, some of these places to practice. Because of that, because of some of the people that were there. And I think we're gonna see a lot more influx because of all this in polyamory groups, of, couples that are wanting to just try this out and thinking it's just this fun thing that you do without really having a true understanding. And I could even say that swinging would be a, a fun thing that you do with your partner. But you still need to know what you're getting into because there are still, like, some kind of norms within the community of how you can approach people. A lot of people may not understand consent.
Yeah, we struggle with this a lot in the swinger community. So we actually ha this happened this past weekend. We met a new couple. And I think, and now if I think back 3 years ago when I started swinging, I remember that I. So when I got there, I noticed that a lot of people at the club were like socializing and they weren't having sex. I had this like concept that swinging was like just orgies, right? I'm like, we're just gonna go there and fuck everybody, right? Like that's what a sex club is. And I was confused. I'm like, because there was no representation. This was pre-swing talk, right? Like this was before we had any of that representation, even on social media. So like I was like, why aren't people fucking? And I even looked at my husband and I was like, this is weird. Why are they like socializing? Why is this a social community? Now I know, but it's just interesting that like you come into it. So we met this new couple and I think that's what they thought. And this girl like walked up to me and we had talked to her, but there wasn't really any chemistry. There wasn't really any. And because of power dynamics and consent, I'm very careful about the people that I play with in a swinger club or event setting because I do know that I have a social media presence. Therefore, people might just seek me out to play with me because they saw me on social media and they were attracted to me. And then I hold a higher power dynamic with them, right? And this is
Definitely.
similar to the BDSM lifestyle, when you're dealing with DOMs and subs, right? So, I'm really careful about that. And she like walked up to me and she was like, can I give you a kiss? Didn't give me the chance to say yes or no and just like kissed me. And I was like,
Oh,
I was not upset because I knew that they were newer. Also, I feel like it really could have been a great moment, a great teaching moment. But in that moment, I respond. I was like,
I would have too.
what the fuck do I do or what do I say? This person is very obviously drunk. So I just kind of was like, and I think what I probably will do is if I see them again or if I see them on the website, I would just be like, hey, listen, you know, kissing is something that maybe not all couples are okay with. Like, make sure that you ask and give them the chance to respond. But yeah, like a lot of times when you come into these communities, you have no, they don't teach you consent in school. You know, they don't teach you that in health class. So I think that's one point to recognize is like the media and, you know, we could do a better job on social, a good job on social media of teaching people that, which we're going to talk about social media in a minute. But are there any media sources that you think represent polyamory in an authentic perspective? That's a good perspective. Because we've talked a lot about like negative perspectives, but like, are there any positive ones out there, do you think?
So most of what I would say would be from people who are actually polyamorous themselves, and they have written books, or they have a podcast or something. But so one is a book called Iron Widow, and I have not personally read the book. I'm not big on reading a whole lot of fiction, but apparently this is a very good source. Sense8 is talked about a lot. It's a TV show, and that they had some really good polyamory representation. There's actually a lot of books. ReadyForPolyamory.com, she has a list of polyamory in fiction. And so these are some great books. There's about 10 of them on her list. And I mean, there's way more that exist than just that, but they're not necessarily they're not usually mainstream books. They're not like ones that are going to be New York Times bestsellers. But as far as polyamory books, Polysecure is one of the major go-tos, Polysecure by Jessica Fern. It is a great resource. I also just read recently Entwined by Alex Alberto. I know you actually met Alex, right?
I did. And Alex was just on the podcast the other day. So my listeners, if you're listening to this, you should be very familiar with that book. Yes, that was, I feel like a great representation. And I feel like that sort of media could, and I told them this when they were on the podcast, because they, you know, they wrote like a play within the book. And I'm like, that could be a good representation, you know, for that sort of media. And then almost like a movie could come out of it, right? Because we don't really have a lot of good stage representation. We have a lot of good queer stage representation and a lot of good queer movie and media representation, but not a lot of great non-monogamy representation. And I'm like, I feel like that could be a good way to segue into that. The true, real stories of people, right?
Yeah. And if you think about it, queer representation in the media, as far as good representation, that is very recent. That is really only within, I would say, the last maybe 5 years that there's been a lot more of that. Anything previous to that, if there was anything, it was a horrible, horrible representation with sprinkled in with a few good representations.
Yeah.
But now I think, you know, TV shows and movies and stuff, they don't want to have bad queer representation because they're going to get a lot of backlash from it. And I think eventually we may get there with polyamory representation, but we are just not there yet as a whole. They're going to show the bad, the drama, you know,
the sensationalized version of it.
Right.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, a lot of us are just boring.
Right.
Like, I came up with the term boring polyamory as a joke about a year ago. And then it kind of took off with several other people talking about like their day in boring polyamory. Cause really we're just people. Like, you know, we still have to do laundry. We have to sweep the floor. It's not always just like this crazy excitement all the time.
Right. And then, I know that you're big into social media, education, all that, and you've been in these spaces for a while. I have too. So what role do you think that social media has played in bringing the communities of like polyamorous and swingers out in the open? And do you think that social media has been a positive force for change, or maybe it's negative?
I think overall it has been very positive. The only negative I would say is that it can become very overwhelming. So if maybe you are new to polyamory, new to swinging, and you're trying to check out resources, it can seem like just so much. There's so much information. But overall, yes, it has been very positive. And I think it's actually given people a lot of resources when they are just kind of first coming into these communities to come about things in a healthier way than maybe for example, me, when I first had an open relationship with my husband, this was basically right after we started dating. There were no resources because, again, we're talking about over 20 years ago. There really weren't any resources. And if there were, where was I going to find them?
It
And
was underground, yeah.
yeah, so I didn't always have the healthiest practices. I mean, I wouldn't say they were complete trash, but I had a lot of learning to do, and now I think that people can come in with a healthier understanding. And I definitely think that that's just great. And it's been really nice seeing the communities just coming together, the polyamorous community. A lot of people that are content creators, we all know each other. A lot of us have conversations with one another. There's like several different group chats that go on, try to collaborate with a lot of people. And I know that in the swinger community, you've had that as well. And I think we're also more recently seeing a lot more collaboration between the swinger community and the polyamorous community coming together as well.
I remember early in my journey in content creating, I would reach out to polyamorous creators and they did not want to have anything to do with me. They were like, nope. A lot of times, like they wouldn't. Now I follow them, they follow me back. Last night I did a live with Decolonizing Love because they were asking
They're
me,
great.
because they were curious. They're like, I want to know, like, because what you don't know if you're not in that community. You don't realize very much how similar these communities are. And I am going to kind of maybe disagree with you a little bit on this. I'm going to be the devil's advocate. And maybe this is because we're in different communities.
Go for it.
So I think it has been very positive. I think that there are so many people who have been opened up to the polyamorous community, and it is a healthy way for them to get involved. Swinging as well. I think so many people found it through social media and found these communities, and I think that that's very positive. The downside to the creation is that I would say 90% of the people in the swinger community that are making content are making content to sell OnlyFans.
I have seen a lot of that as well, so
So
yes.
that's the difference. I think with polyamorous creators, it's very much centered in education, in creating healthy habits within your relationship, right? And resources. And then with the swinging community, I think that there's this guise of we're educating you. But really what we're doing is we're not really educating you. We're telling you that, and then we're giving you a link to go to our OnlyFans and you can see us fuck everybody else. And I think that that's the downside, is because now that means anybody can create this content and anybody can say that they're an educator and anybody can do this work without actually, first of all, doing it for the right reasons. Like now we're doing it for money. And second of all, we don't really know what we're doing. When me and my partner started creating content, it was really about sharing a journey.
Right.
the ups and downs of that journey, we were like, you know, we want to be authentic and share this with people. I think that that is powerful within itself. But it's really difficult, and I'm even responsible in some of this, and I take accountability for like making those mistakes early on in my journey. So I do think it kind of like what you said earlier is there's a lot out there, and you just have to really be careful about who you're following and what kind of experiences they have, and kind of figure out what it's there for. Because again, as content creators, you know, we spend a lot of our time and energy doing this. So, like, there should be a little bit of compensation somewhere with like affiliate deals or Patreons and all that. But I do think that you do have to be a little bit cautious because I have noticed a trend of like, I'm an educator, but you're really just somebody who likes to fuck on camera and you want to just like do OnlyFans. And I think that like making that distinct line is important.
Yeah, those are some really good points. I hadn't really thought about that in a while. I've thought of that before. A little bit of like be careful sometimes who you're listening to, because like you said, maybe they say they're an educator, but it's really just a way to make some money through OnlyFans or, you know, any means possible. I mean, other means, sorry. And someone can say they're an educator, but maybe they're not giving the best advice. Maybe their advice is very flawed. Maybe they're very new to it themselves. They're maybe a little uneducated. Maybe they're not intentionally misinforming people, but they still are. I actually don't even consider myself a polyamorous educator because I don't necessarily want to be viewed that what I say is always going to be correct. Because I mean, I try my best to always give very good educational content when I do that. But yeah, like some people have disagreed with me on certain things, which is okay. That doesn't mean like that maybe I said wrong. It's just differences of opinion. But I like to be considered more of just a polyamorous creator who shares my information. But yes, I do share some education. I share actually quite a bit of education. But to say I'm an educator is, yeah, I don't think is always the way I would consider myself. Sorry if I'm kind of going off screen for a minute. I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, you're good. I agree, and I think that yeah, I think that that's the tough part is just like the what you're consuming on social media, and then you know I feel like more so with the polyamorous community, you have a spectrum of how people you know do polyamory, right? You have a lot of people who
Course.
say polyamory in a hierarchical way is unethical. And then you have the unicorn hunters, and you just have a plethora. And if you're new to this sort of experience and you're talking about this with your partner, you're talking about opening up, sometimes that can be a little bit confusing, I think, too. And I think that would be
Very.
one of the downfalls I've just noticed, which in my personal communities, I try to like stray away from that. I'm like, listen, however you and your partner practice non-monogamy, if you feel safe doing that and if it's consensual and no one's coercing you into it, like we should have ju non-judgmental spaces. And that's not to say that like people talking about the hierarchies and all that's wrong, but I'm just saying it to some people who are newer, it can maybe look sort of judgmental.
It does a lot of times come across very judgmental. I do think, though, that we should, you know, call out and discuss harmful practices in the communities, but I don't think we should be just necessarily judging individuals. Instead of judging, it's more of let's help you learn, because not everybody is going to have the healthiest practices, especially when you're just beginning, because we aren't given the tools prior to any of that. It's not like anybody really grew up and saw representation of any type of non-monogamy in a healthy way. Very few people saw that from like their parents. Everybody, for the most part, was raised with monogamous parents. And we do see, just from society as a whole, monogamy is what you do. Mm-hmm. So that's what we know. And to break that down, it takes a lot of work. And that doesn't just come the second you say, oh, I want to, you know, start practicing polyamory, or I want to enter the swinger community. Yay. You haven't just automatically broken all that down. It takes time. So I do think that we should not be so quick to judge people, but I think we should also be discussing what are some of the harmful practices.
Exactly. And I think that goes along with swinging as well, I think. But, you know, it's all a part of the evolution and it's all a part of the journey. And I do really truly believe, though, that social media has changed the, first of all, outlook on monogamy. It's given people, you know, because especially specifically TikTok. So, and the reason why TikTok is so different from any other form of social media, and I know that's your largest platform, correct?
It is my largest, yes.
So when people are consuming that content, when they're scrolling on their phone, you know, when I'm on Instagram, they're going to put, you know, witchy stuff and polyamorous stuff and swinger stuff, right? Because that's what I normally consume. But on your For You page on TikTok, anybody can see a swinger video, regardless if it gets to the For You page and it just goes across your feed, that's going to go across your feed and you're going to see that. And maybe if you were never exposed to that and then you see it and you're like, wow, this actually makes a lot of sense. This is like, I really like what this person is saying. This feels like me, or I can see mm-hmm. myself in this sort of lifestyle or in this sort of relationship mm-hmm. structure, right? So I think that was kind of where the change was with social media, was with TikTok, because it's so in your face and you might not have ever have known that these communities even existed, you know, until they're on your TikTok feed.
TikTok was a game changer once it became popular, for so many different reasons. And I think that's why I used to get a lot of questions about my specific relationships, especially earlier on TikTok, because I didn't see many people discuss at that time. I didn't see many people discussing much about polyamory then. As I started talking about polyamory, when I went to that as my main content, by that point, there were already quite a few people that were talking about polyamory a lot. Now, there were a lot of people that were talking about polyamory on Instagram. They had Instagram pages, Facebook pages before TikTok really took off in the way it did. So some of those pages go back to, you know, 2017, 2018. And so before that time period. But TikTok definitely brought it to a broader audience.
Yeah, I think that's very similar with my experience with swinging. Was I didn't even know what swinging was until my husband's friend told him about swinging. Uh-huh. And so it wasn't like something that I personally found on social media. And then when I was on social media and I was trying to learn more about it, I didn't really see a lot of information when I would look it up on TikTok or look it up on Instagram. And so I had to go on websites to learn about it. And then after we started swinging, I was like, there's really not a lot of people doing this. At the time, there was like one or two people who were doing it from an educational aspect. And mm-hmm. the hashtag of Swing Talk had like 10,000 views or something. It was so small.
Oh, wow.
And then I started going like viral. And then a lot of people after me, very soon after me, they saw me on their For You pages and were like, well, this girl is talking about it. Why can't I? So in a lot of ways, I think that's why I've stayed so relevant, even with all of the creators. A lot of people actually don't know that story, that like I was one of the first people to start doing it from like an educational and like a journey way, instead of just being like, I'm sexy and I'm a swinger, go follow my OnlyFans, which I ended up doing because I saw everybody else doing and like, ugh, bleh, I hate that. But and like I still have an OnlyFans and all that, but it for me, I wanted to share again, share my journey and share educational resources with people. And I think that that's we see so much of that now, and that's so important to have that, because again, it opens up so many amazing people to amazing communities that they might not have ever have been involved with. So thank you for your
Very much
work
agree.
on social media, because I know it's not easy.
Yeah, same to you.
I know it's not easy, and I know it's tough. But I think that we have a great community behind us on both ends, and I think we're really great, really lucky for that. And I'm very grateful for the amazing other human beings who are just really trying to. I think it's all rooted in a lot of love. It's like a love letter to the community of like, we want to teach you and we want to share our authentic journey because we love you.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. And actually, I have made so many friends just as being a content creator. And then I start talking to other content creators, and then other people just kind of find my page and stuff. And some of those, they don't make content themselves, so I become friends with them. Like, that's been one of the greatest takeaways for me, is the community, the people I've met.
Yeah, and the communities that have been built, and I see the polyamorous community, and there's so many different personalities, so many different beautiful people, and the same thing with swinging, and I think that that's so important, that like maybe you don't identify with me or you don't identify with Andrea, but there's other people who we know in the community that you can identify with and that you can identify with their content in terms of non-monogamous content. So, with all of that being said, any last words for our listeners about, media representation with polyamory, social media?
Oh my goodness. I think just when you're consuming any when you find any content online or any polyamory in the media, try to go in with knowing that it may not be an accurate representation. So when you do find creators, just when you follow people, think about what they are talking about. Are they really trying to educate you? Definitely try to take that in, because not all of the representation is good. When you do find any books on polyamory, any TV shows, any movies, know that it may not be the best representation. So it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it, but know what you are consuming.
And you know what? It's an entertainment purpose regardless, because we could sit there and now we have a reason to message each other and giggle at it or say, oh my God, this is like driving me nuts, or like whatever. So it's entertaining regardless of how you see it. I think it's I think you're absolutely right when you said earlier that like it's going to take a while to have good representation, but I think that we're moving in a direction where people are seeking out that representation, and I think that's the most important part of all of it.
Yes, definitely with journalists, it seems like there's been a lot of that, and I'm so proud of them.
I am too. Yes. So, can you tell my followers how or listeners how they can find you if they want to connect with you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm most active now on Instagram. I am Infinite Polyam, and I am on what, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Facebook, all with the same username. Again, the most active on Instagram. And if you find one, you can click on the link and find the rest.
Well, sounds good. Thank you very much for riding on the Pineapple Express with us today.
Thank you for having me on, Kylie.